Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue to talk about hindrances to divine guidance. In general, the three categories we're talking about are the hindrances of the world system, our own flesh, and the devil. And we want to remind ourselves constantly that the world system has been defeated and that the devil and his little buddies have been defeated. They were defeated 2,000 years ago. Our challenge for you and I today, a very personal challenge, is to overcome the flesh. That's the only hindrance that we have to work out ourselves. And the big reason is that Jesus did not develop flesh. He did not develop a self-life that was independent from Father. He instead received life from Father through his spirit into his soul and into his body. You and I are still working on that. And when we came into this world, our soul took responsibility for meeting its own needs and the needs of our body. And the approach, the methods, the tactics, the strengths and weaknesses that our soul uses or used, and in many respects very often continues to use to meet our needs, our legitimate needs, that is our self-life, our soul life versus spirit life versus natural life. And again, we go back to that brick wall that separates our soul from our spirit that should not be there. That dividing line was constructed by our soul to protect itself. There's no longer anything we need to protect ourselves from. We have everything we need for life and godliness in our spirit. So the more our spirit can gain access to our soul, the more we receive that eternal life that is available now, goes into our soul and then into our body. Now, when Jesus was walking around on this earth, for the 33 and some odd months he was here, because he had already conquered the world system, those three main categories, the religious system, time pressure, and peer pressure, he'd already conquered those because he had access and was receiving eternal life through his spirit into his soul. So he didn't need anything that the world had to offer. And the devil, he'd already dealt with the devil here on this earth in the body by accessing the eternal life that he already had. So the devil, even though he used his main three attacks against him, because Jesus was not vulnerable, because he had the confidence and the eternal life by experience, not by faith, but by experience, the devil's tactics could not work on him. And those three categories are deception, temptation, and accusation. We're going to go into detail to some extent on each one of these for this purpose, for hindrances of divine guidance. We've gone through each one of these categories in great detail in other series, so we're just going to talk about them as far as how they hinder us from receiving divine guidance. But our main one is dealing with our self life, our soul life, the strength of our mind, our will, and emotions in manipulating our environment, manipulating others in order, and ourselves, and sometimes trying to manipulate God in order to get our needs met. That's what our flesh is, our soul life, our strengths and our weaknesses. Now remember, God gave you the soul he wanted you to have. Your soul itself is fine. It's when your soul tries to do the job of your spirit, which when your spirit was dead, you didn't have any choice, but now you do. So that's what God is dealing with. Now, we are, if we have been reborn, born into the spirit, we have received everything. We were in Christ when he was crucified. We were in Christ as he rose again. We are even now seated with him in heavenly places. We can boldly come before the throne of God. All these other things, all these other experiences, if we are in Christ, we are experiencing those as well. The problem is, it's in the spirit. Because Jesus was tapping into eternal life, his Father, from the very beginning, his soul, his mind, his will, and emotions never formed a separate approach to living, to getting his needs met. He knew how to go to his Father through his spirit to get his needs met. So there was never a separate way. He was never double-minded. He was never double-willed. He was never double-emotion. He always got all his needs met by accessing his Father through the Spirit. So though we can experientially have the victory, have overcoming of the world system and the devil, Satan and his buddies, here on this earth, through Jesus, through being a new spirit being, our soul is something that's left to us to work out our salvation. Your salvation is in. We are working it out. The change that God wrought is we have it. We've received the eternal life. You have received all the eternal life you're ever going to get. The problem is that wall, that barrier, and that's what we want to remember, that that is the crux of everything that God is doing in our lives, is bringing us into a greater experience of living as a spirit being here on this earth now and overcoming our enemies experientially, that which has already taken place 2,000 years ago. We need to be able to participate and understand how to do that now, how to live that way, how to live as spirit beings. But our soul, in reality, has taken on more than its job is. And we are in the process of learning how to cooperate with God. Now, there are areas of our soul that wall, once that wall comes down, the needs of our soul are met by spirit. But there are also things that our soul has learned how to do that need to be unlearned. So on the one hand, changing and removing our flesh is God's job. We can't do it. As that wall is removed, and we cooperate with him at, through the removal of that wall, brick by brick or stone by stone. But God himself is the one who realigns and frees and heals our soul. But there's also a relinquishing of relying on our soul and relying on our strengths and trying to hide our weaknesses. So we are also involved in behavior change, not through our own effort, but understanding that your soul has strengths and weaknesses, and they, those strengths and weaknesses are meant to be brought under the control of spirit. So say that that wall is completely separated and spirit is fully able to flow through your soul. Your soul doesn't therefore then get to do whatever it wants. It is subjected to your spirit. So the goal is not to free your soul to be able to do whatever the, your strengths are and completely, you know, will overcome your weaknesses. Instead, it's that you would not know the strengths and weaknesses of your soul because you are living in the spirit. Let's take another example. Let's go back to all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. They were also spirit, soul, and body, just as we are. Only their spirits never had to be re-enlivened. They existed as spirit beings. They were spirit, they had a soul, and they lived in bodies. Now their spirit communed with each other. Adam communed with Eve by spirit, and they communed with God by spirit. They knew each other after the spirit, not after the soul, not after the body, but when they reached out to one another, the, what they made contact with was spirit to spirit. When they communed with God, it was spirit to spirit. So all the needs of the soul and the body were met through spirit. They had all the information, all the instruction, the guidance, all their needs were met. And we won't get, go too far down the track at this point in time as to why then they wanted more. That's, we'll get into that some other point in time. But just understand that when they were lowered, when God said, "In that day you shall die," their soul did not die. Their body did not die, but their spirit died. So all of a sudden, their needs were met, and then all of a sudden they weren't. And they had to come up with their own way of meeting their needs. So you and I are going the other way. We've been meeting our own needs, and now all of a sudden we don't have to. But our soul is still trying to, and it will, however long it takes God to renew and refresh our soul to be able to accept life from spirit. So that's really where we're heading. It's not about becoming a different thing than we are right now. It's in spirit. God is fully satisfied with who you are. You are finished and complete in your spirit. We're, you and I are still just not enjoying what we have already received. So that's where our challenge is. And we really have no idea how our, what faculties we have available, what it's like to live as spirit being. Over the generations, God has given a hunger and a thirst to different generations, different people groups, and different individuals to desire to see him, to know him, to receive from him. And yet very often it is not passed on from one generation to the next, or it's passed on incorrectly, so that so much of what you and I perceive as spirit life is much more based on our own expectations, what we've been taught, our own history, rather than experience, which is why we're always coming back to being able to hear God, being able to test his voice, and then knowing what to do, being objective about having a relationship with God by experience. We get caught up with this whole concept of faith when God wants to make it real. He wants to make your faith based on reality. We know he's going to do something loving because we've experienced so many loving things before. And when our focus is so much on ourselves that we need to be in the right place and be doing the right thing and believing the right things in order for God to work on our life, work on our behalf, you know, God won't do anything until we've already done everything else. You've got the prayer chain going, that kind of thing, when it's really the opposite. God wants to be able to prove himself to our soul, to our awareness, so that as he shows his love the first time, we recognize that in whatever way, shape, or form, whether it's healing, revealing his presence, interceding for us in a situation, speaking our name to us. Each time he does that, he increases our confidence that he will do it again. And it's not about our faith. It's about God revealing himself and our response. Our saying, again, do we have the confidence to know how to test what we're hearing and then responding? So this is the basis of the whole idea of divine guidance, or guidance in general. Our desire, our need for guidance, is because God knows he makes our circumstances so that we need to go to him. We need help. We need direction. We want to know what is the right way to go. And he creates those situations and those circumstances so that we will turn to him. And we will have those first experiences, the second experiences, and continue to build up. This is one of our problems, is we wait until there's a big thing, a big question, like, where do I move to? Who do I marry? There's a need for a healing in a situation. We pursue him on the big things, but then we let our soul do the work on the little things. And yet, if we can use those little things, which route should I take to work this morning? When we use the little things to communicate with him, to develop our hearing, that's when we have little experiences that build up our confidence, that when we hear the big things, we will already know God loves us. Because that's what this is all about, is having confidence that what God is, who God is and what he is, accepts us, loves us, approves us of us right now. We can then be ourselves because our self is aligned with spirit. So last week we were talking about how the world system hinders that divine guidance. And we talked about the religious system. And the religious system is really any approach that we have created to try to explain how God works outside of his spirit. Now, we use a lot of safety issues, you know, that we have to have church, we have to have religion, we have to have guidelines and rules and guardrails, or we'll go off the deep end, we'll go off the road, we'll lose God's guidance because we will have gotten so off on our own. And one thing I want to just remind you, that if you are strong enough to be able to avoid God, he's not God. If you think you can so mess up that you're going to surprise God, or that he's not going to be able to keep you in the direction he wants you to go in through your spirit, you have a misunderstanding of who God is. It's not that we need to look for getting off, getting away from knowing God's truth, which is himself, he himself. It's not a concept, it's a person. But when we understand his intent for us, and also that what we believe, you and I'm deceived right now. You're deceived right now because you believe things that are not true. One of the reasons we want to know God is because we want to learn. And at the core of learning is the assumption that there are things that we don't know. And if there are things that we don't know, we've drawn conclusions about them anyway. And when we even talk about them, we draw conclusions. And those conclusions are going to be based on our personal experience, what we've read, what we've been taught. Let's say heaven. God hasn't taught you about heaven. If you haven't experienced what he wants you to know, your conclusions about heaven, you're deceived in those conclusions. And that's fine. Because until God has freed us in our soul to be able to receive spirit, we have a long way to go to be able to experience the purity, the wonder, the extent of spirit. We're kind of diddling around with the ones and the twos and the threes when he's up in the bazillions. And yet, when God wants to take us from ones and twos and threes to hundreds of thousands, just on a range, when he wants to reveal himself, this is why so often revelation of a truth or an experience or a reality that currently exists right now in spirit, when he opens our eyes, when he reveals himself, we can hardly contain it. Because we are so used to living with our own realities. So as he teaches us to overcome the world system and live as overcomers of the world system and teaches us how to walk out being an overcomer of the devil as a, this is who you are, this is your identity, you are an overcomer of the devil. Period. If you have been born again, that's who you are. And you are in the process of cooperating with God to receive healing in your soul, for him to change your mind, your will, and your emotions, but also experience a revelation of who he is in your soul. That's the process part. And as we recognize that, we are then free to let him do and be in our circumstances whatever he wants to do and be. We recognize that that's what's going on. He is working on our behalf, not against us. And part of that is learning to overcome the world system. And that religious system very often puts the pressure, the expectation, the work the productivity back on our soul. And that's exactly what God does not want. But if you don't know that, we're very often going to keep going around that mountain, if you will. Keep working to do what God has said has already been done or that he will do himself. So that religious system is a big part of the interference that is keeping us from experiencing the freedom. But part of that is the whole concept that if you give up that religious system, is God enough? And our soul is used to having its needs met a certain way. And it takes time and effort and energy to learn how to receive your needs met, get your needs met through God alone. So we allow him, God, to reveal himself in whatever way he chooses, and also so that we can learn to recognize the hindrances. So he may speak to you about areas where you are relying on structure and teaching rather than the personhood. The actual God, relying on things about him rather than relying on him. Knowing things about him rather than knowing him. Being enamored by the book rather than the author. So the next aspect is time pressure. These are world system hindrances. Time pressure in this world system. As you are making yourself available to him, spending time with him, your confidence in your ability to hear from God grows. And you'll be able to recognize and overcome the stress of having to make decisions now. The whole concept of time. Time is not eternal. Time is a created thing. God created it. And as a spirit being, you have authority over it. So one of the aspects that of the world system that we are learning to overcome is time. And we see it very much in our daily walk that we feel like, okay, even broadly in our life here on this earth, what have we accomplished? That's time pressure right there. What have you done for God? That's time pressure. That's productivity pressure. That's not from God. That's a solical hindrance. So though there will be time frames that will be out of your control, God will teach you when to step in and take time into your own hands. So he's going to teach you how to manage your time, how to take control. Not out of your soul, not trying to discipline yourself better, be a better time manager, even like though we go back to what we originally talked about, there's behaviors that we need to change. But as a spirit being, you have full authority over time. We could even talk about, you know, is there time travel? Is there ways we can undo things that happened, wounds? Can we really truly heal wounds that happened in our past to the extent that they didn't happen? So think about that. And then there's peer pressure. This is perhaps one of the hardest habits to learn, is saying no without explanation. Regardless of your relationships, you don't owe anyone an explanation for the decision you make. Now, having said that, between spouses where decisions affect both, though you don't owe the other person an explanation, you may want to ask the Lord if there is something that needs to be brought to the surface if you are hesitant to share with those you are in relationship with. There may be times when there is no explanation. The Lord just says to say no. But part of building solid relationships is being able to accept no for an answer without explanation. Now, again, these are about spiritual things. This is not about building a relationship, for instance, a marriage or making decisions within a family or a business situation. Those are soulical things, but we're talking about spiritual things here. So we'll probably need to go into that a little bit more deeply next week. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or get in touch with me through therainersclub.org. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a good night.